Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, friends. What does the Lord require of us? The lesson of Cain and Abel is that it is not for us to choose what we should bring before Him. Micah 6, verses 6 and 8 say, "Wherewither shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" Like Israel, we can fall into the trap of believing that it is enough to fulfill the rituals of worship, attending meetings week by week, taking our turn in ecclesial duties. But this, on its own, is a poor response if it is not part of a life given wholly to the things of God. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Today we're looking at a very, very important topic. What does the Lord require of us? Brother Ocott gave a talk over this, actually. Pretty much the exact same title. And he starts out by saying, "What does God require of us in return for His infinite gift of eternity?" He very reasonably requires a tremendous amount. He requires everything. Everything we have. Everything we have, everything we are, our whole being, and every moment of our time. The promise is only for those who love Him enough to give all. Matthew 22, verse 4 says that many are called, but few are chosen. Why was only 8 saved from the flood? Why only Lot and his family, including his wife, until she looked back, saved from Sodom and Gomorrah? Why only 2 adults were allowed to enter into the land? It is because they didn't take to heart what the Lord required of them. They weren't willing to give all, to sacrifice all. In Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13, it reads, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Moses spoke these words to his brethren, encouraging them to give all they had in service to God. In Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, it reads, "Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Brothers and sisters, Yahweh requires absolute love. True love. Not this love that the world is teaching today. It's a love of sacrifice, of self-denial, that God teaches us. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8, we read, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not love," or charity, or love, "I am become as sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long, and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Love never faileth. If we truly love Yahweh and His Son, we will not fail. We will give everything in service to them. When I think of giving all, I can't help but to think of two people. These two people, they were asked to give all, and they just couldn't do it. In Acts 5, verses 1 through 10, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit, and great fear came on all that had heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, "Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. My dear brothers and sisters, someday, and someday soon, I believe, we will all have the opportunity to stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and He will ask us a similar question. Did you give all to my service, or did you hold back part of the price? Do we really and truly realize what is required of us? Many are called, but few are chosen. The world's ideals are trying to creep in on us. The commandments of Christ are slowly fading. And in their place, friendship with the world, love of the world, love of money, pride, and on and on. We have lost many soldiers in this war against the flesh. It is so sad to see brothers and sisters fall away. We are told to strengthen that which remains, not by requiring less, but by requiring more and more from one another, holding ourselves and each other to a higher standard than what we think we might get by with. I am, and you are, your brother's keeper. Let us look at what Yahweh requires of us through some commandments of Christ. We talked about love earlier. And Christ said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So what exactly are some of his commandments? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18 say, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In James 4, verses 5, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How black and white does it have to be for us to understand? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How many brothers and sisters do we have to lose? How many do we have to lose to being friends of the world before we guard strongly against it? What is required of us? To love God with all we have. And he says, if we are friends of the world, we are his enemy. We don't love him. We become his enemy. Brothers and sisters, we can't keep back part of the price. We can't hold a little bit to reserve for the world. We can't give them any. We can't have a few worldly friends. We can't even have one worldly friend. Some may say, wow, are you serious, Brother Richard? To be that separate, really? When I was about 11 or 12 years old, I set out here as a child. And there was a brother giving a talk to the young ones before we got up here. And he had a pitcher of water sitting up here, and he talked about how that's how we're supposed to be, clean and pure. And then he said, if we get mixed up with the world, we'll become dirty. And he poured tea or something in it to turn it black, and it was not good. It looked terrible after he got through with it. And that's what happens when we get mixed up with the world. And sadly to say, that brother's gone. He got mixed up with the world. It is awesome in the scriptures, brothers and sisters, how one subject leads to another one. Or in this case, one command leads to another. When Christ lived, he preached the word. So did Paul, and so did Stephen. Christ was spat on, beaten by scourging, nearly to death, and then he was crucified. Paul, we know, was stoned and left for dead, and many other things was done to him. Stephen, well, he was stoned to death, wasn't he? In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, we're told, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Last Sunday, our brother Glenn exhorted us in Goldthwaite, and he told us a true faith, that is, a truly alive faith, it can't be hid. You can't hide it. It will show itself through the things that we say, through the things that we do, through the things that we think. We can't hide it. If we're around the world, it'll come out. They'll see that we're a different kind of people, that we're God's people. If we truly, brothers and sisters, follow this command to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, we won't have to worry about worldly friends. The flesh hates to be preached to. It hates to be corrected. And sadly, brothers and sisters, we all have flesh, don't we? We all have flesh. So that is something we all have to guard against as well. We are to suffer the word of exhortation and to allow room for correction. We can't be high-minded, but we must realize the high calling we have been called to. Do you realize out of millions and millions, Yahweh called us out of a perverse world? He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. He says, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. His commandments are good for us. They're good for us. They make us better. They help us destroy sin that so easily besets us. They help us, or they help make us wise unto salvation. I want to look at some other commands of Christ. In Matthew 5:45, verse 44, it says, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. In Matthew 5:39 and 40, it says, resist not evil. Resist not evil. If a man smite thee on one cheek, turn to him the other. And in Romans 12, it says, avenge not yourselves, rather give place unto wrath, and suffer yourselves to be defrauded. And in Luke 6, verse 29 and 30, it says, if a man take away thy goods, ask them not again. In Matthew 5, verse 25, it says, agree with your adversary quickly. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 7, it says, submitting even to wrong for the sake of peace. Also, labor not to be rich. Be ready to every good work. Give to those who ask. Relieve the afflicted. Do not your alms before men. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. Let no cursing come out of your mouth. Render not evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Pray for them that despitefully use you and afflict you. Grudge not, complain not, condemn not. Put away anger, wrath, bitterness, and all evil speaking. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another. Be not conformed to this world. Love not the world. Deny all ungodliness and worldly lust. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Owe no man anything. In case of sin, known or heard of, speak not of it to others, but tell the offending brother of the matter between thee and him alone, with a view of recovery. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Pray always, and pray with simplicity, pray secretly. And everything give thanks to God, and recognize Him in all your ways. As you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. Take Christ for an example, and follow in His steps. Let Christ dwell in your heart by faith. esteem Christ more highly than all things, than all earthly things, yea, than your own life. Confess Christ freely before men. Beware lest the cares of the of life or the allurements of pleasure weaken his hold on your heart. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Exercise lordship over no one. Seek not your own welfare only, nor bear your own burdens merely, but have regard to those of others. Let your light shine before men. Hold forth the word of life. Do good to all men as you have opportunity. Be blameless, harmless, as the sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Be gentle, meek, kind-hearted, compassionate, merciful, forgiving. Be sober, grave, sincere, temperate. Speak the truth every man with his neighbor. Put away all lying. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Be watchful, vigilant, brave, joyful, courteous, and manly. Be clothed with humility, be patient toward all. Follow peace with all men. Sympathize in the joys and sorrows of others. Follow after whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseful. Refrain utterly from adultery, fornication, uncleanness, drunkenness, covetousness, wrath, strife, sedition, hatred, emulation, boastings, vainglory, jesting, and foolish talking. Whatsoever you do, consider the effect of your actions on the honor of God's name among men. Whatsoever you do, consider the effect of your action on the honor of God's name among men. Do all to the glory of God. Reckon yourselves dead to all manner of sin. Henceforth live not for to yourselves, but to him who died for you and rose again. Be zealous of good works, always abounding in the work of the Lord, wearying not in well-doing. Speak evil of no man. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Obey rulers. Submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Be holy in all manner of conversation. Give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Brothers and sisters, these are the commandments of Christ. We must let them sink deep within our hearts and deep within our minds. We must live each day to these words. Our dear brother Rocott, in his talk, he closed with these words. Paul's words from prison to the brethren and sisters at Philippi, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall, not might, or maybe, but shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God offers us everything. He holds nothing back. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He even promises incorporation into the divine nature itself. And he very reasonably demands everything in return. Although our everything is such a miserable little nothing compared to his. Have we then the simple wisdom and common sense to go all the way for the incorruptible or incomparable and incomprehensible prize of life and joy forevermore. What unutterable stupidity if we do not. If we haven't enough sense, if we haven't enough love to give total service for 70 years in exchange for 70 billion, billion years and more of eternal joy, then what hope is there for us? What good could such half-hearted and self-pleasing creatures be to God? It's love that He asks. Love manifested in works. How much do we have? Brothers and sisters, many are called, but few are chosen. May we be among those few.